This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, bringing you the biggest stories from across Texas. The Headline gives you the news you need to be an informed citizen.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons, managing editor of Texas Scorecard. And once again this week, joined with Jeremy Kitchen, our Capitol correspondent, to talk about a couple of the big stories. The legislature didn't meet this week in the state capitol, but there was still a lot of action. Governor Abbott announcing his priorities, also committee assignments finally being announced in the Texas House. We're going to talk about that. But if you're watching live right now, please feel free to drop your questions, your comments in there. Let us know where you're watching from. I'd be happy to answer those throughout the show. Jeremy, we talked last week, if you watched The Headline last week, we gave a little bit of a preview of what was to be expected with Governor Abbott's State of the State address, which he gave on television on primetime on Monday night. And how did that match up to people's expectations?
He signaled ahead of time, right, that there were a few things. He had given, like, there were some press conferences and stuff he had kind of the weeks leading up to that on things like one of the items, right, preventing the local defunding of the police, for instance, mm-hmm. right? He had a roundtable where he talked about that. He had signaled some of the bail reform stuff, if you will, and kind of signaled the liability protections thing. So generally, it kind of matched up. But even then, like, as we talked about last week, I think there was there's kind of this weird, even though in previous cycles you would have kind of this buildup and signals, there wasn't as much of that this go around. So there were some surprises.
Right. So let's go through right now those five emergency priorities. He laid out five emergency priorities. These are not just ceremonially designated that, but actually the legislature's not authorized to pass bills in the first 2 months of session. Sure. Unless they're designated emergencies by the governor. And so these are bills that they can get to work on right away, as soon as possible. And the first one, I think, threw a lot of people off, was kind of a surprise. The number one priority, expanding rural broadband internet access.
Right, yeah. That was definitely one I don't think a lot of people, unless maybe you're in rural Texas, mm-hmm. right, would have said, like, yeah, this is a priority. The way the governor kind of announced it, right, is he had kind of dovetailed it into kind of this public ed sort of thing where they need, like, folks, whether it be students or not, need access, right, to high-speed broadband and what have you. And this is something leading up to this session, right, in previous sessions, they've at least attempted in different ways or set the stage for. But.
Right. And so I think that really surprised a lot of people to see right. it be the number one priority. Right. The next issue that he mentioned is something that he spent a lot of time specifically in Austin talking about, which is measures to prevent local defunding of police. Now, right. he was short in specifics during his actual address this week, but he's signaled a little bit of what he plans to do on this issue before.
Right, that's right. I think if I recall correctly, it was Austin had, like, defunded the police back in August of last year, I think it was. And mm-hmm. ever since then, the governor's kind of been on this, like, warpath, if you will, to prevent those sorts of things. I think previously, even though he didn't say this in the State of the State, previously he's hinted at, you know, coming up with some sort of penalty for local governments, right, that do that sort of thing. He's also talked about, you know, having some sort of kind of zone, if you will, in the city of Austin where, like, DPS would be charged with the law enforcement.
Well, I like the very first proposal, if I recall, on all this was if a city defunds its police or cuts its police funding at all, essentially, they wouldn't be able to raise property taxes right. ever again, which I think a lot of taxpayers were saying, sure. maybe my city needs to defund the police. I don't know. It's kind of a rough choice. But we'll see those specifics. Certainly something he's been talking a lot about. And tied into the law and order theme, his third emergency priority, bail reform, something he didn't, again, give a lot of specifics on in this specific address, although we did talk about previous effort at bail reform. It looks like trying to actually keep criminals in jail, I think, is the direction of this.
Right, yeah. I think it's named, he dubbed it the Damon Allen Act, yeah. which is reminiscent of, there was a law enforcement officer, I think it was in 2017, died, traffic stop, by someone who was previously accused of murder, was convicted of assaulting a sheriff's deputy previously, mm-hmm. and then was released on bond, right? And so this would be, even though it was short on specifics, kind of an attempt to make sure things like that don't happen,
okay.
If you will, yeah.
Fourth emergency item, emergency priority listed by Governor Greg Abbott in his State of the State address, was, of course, election integrity. This one's notable. It's actually the only priority of his that it was a priority of the Republican Party of Texas. It's actually the Republican Party of Texas's number one priority this session. But he listed election integrity. What are we to make of that, specifically when it comes to what kind of legislation we could expect to see passed on this issue?
He didn't give a lot of specifics. In fact, he stated something to the effect of, you know, it's integrity is essential to our democracy, and then kind of dovetailed into the next issue. And so it is unclear whether, like, what that means election integrity wise. Was that the same as the election integrity bill that passed the Senate and died in the House last go around? Is there something different? He did not give a lot of specifics.
Well, we may be able to read a little bit about its chances in the Texas House. We'll talk about that in just a couple minutes when we talk about House committees. But we got to list that fifth emergency priority item. Again, probably not one that was on most people's minds, but that is COVID liability protections for business. What does that mean?
My understanding is it's just ensuring, like, because it's so hard to prove, right? It's like, did someone contract COVID coming into your business as a result of, you know, not taking certain precautions or what have you? Mm-hmm. So this would essentially get rid of those liabilities for businesses because it's so difficult to prove that that's the case. And that's not just for COVID. I think historically for any communicable disease, it's just something, you know, it's extremely difficult to prove.
Right. The other issues he talked about, so those were his five emergency items. We've got that list up at texasscorecard.com. But he also touched on some other issues, not giving them that emergency item status, but giving them a mention. One of them is he talked about pro-life issues for briefly, talked about a Second Amendment sanctuary, which I think a lot of people are confused on exactly what the definition of that would mean. What does it mean? Does it mean constitutional carry? Sure. Does it mean something like that? And he also talked about, and you wrote about this week, potentially legislation to rein in maybe his own emergency powers of the governor, the emergency powers we've seen over the last year. Is that something Texans should really expect the governor right now to be doing, is to limit his own powers? Is that a reasonable thing?
I would say it's reasonable. I think it's unclear as to whether he was talking specifically about himself or just local governments, right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would make the argument that there were certain executive orders that the governor issued himself that caused businesses to shut down, right? Obviously aided with local governments kind of being able to do what it is they wanted to in the absence of any directive.
Right, and we've seen him kind of later this week, even in another interview, sort of say that his office was working with legislators on legislation there. You know, important to note that reining in emergency powers is one of those, it's kind of on the extended list of Republican Party of Texas priorities, essentially the ninth priority that was added after the convention. So something that a lot of people are watching, something that a lot of people are concerned about. Right. And we'll see if he's willing to take action to rein himself in. Pretty soon, these emergency items, though, are going to have the chance to actually make their way through the legislative process. We've got the Senate has already announced their committees back a few weeks ago, largely the same. There's definitely some movement, new people, some switches on committees, but largely business as usual. This week, we had House committee assignments released. And a lot of people are looking forward to this as it's one of the first opportunities that we have gotten to see of what exactly a Speaker Dade Phelan is going to operate, how exactly a Speaker Dade Phelan is going to operate. And I think if you had to pick one phrase to look at these committee assignments, you'd say it's definitely a shakeup.
For sure. It was an obvious pivot in a lot of ways, especially, I hate to call them more important committees, but committees in which, like, there's consequential things that go through. Definitely a shakeup, a pivot in a different direction.
I mean, you're looking at some of these big ones. I'm kind of pulling them up here, but a big surprise for a lot of people, appropriations, right? The budget writing committee. This was a committee that was headed by State Representative John Zerwas, who left the legislature during the interim to take another position. He was replaced by Southlake Republican Giovanni Capriglione last year during the interim, essentially setting him up to talk about to be doing the budget. I think you mentioned Governor Greg Abbott even mentioned him during his State of the State. He's not actually going to be leading the committee, though.
That's right. It's actually going to be Dr. Greg Bonin, who is the former speaker's, Dennis Bonin's brother from that same general area of Texas, who has previously been on the committee, of course. I think he was the Article II subcommittee chairman, the public health portion of the the budget, if you will. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he'll be leading the Appropriations Committee this go around, and it's unclear as to what that means.
Another big committee that's going to see a lot of high profile legislation is, of course, House State Affairs. Right. This is the committee that Dade Phelan himself actually chaired before becoming Speaker, that he chaired last session. And now you've got a new chair in there, State Representative Chris Patty from East Texas. And, one notable thing, you try to look at these committee assignments and read the tea leaves a little bit, a ban on taxpayer-funded lobbying. It's been a priority for Republicans for quite some time. Sure. Actually got voted down in the Texas House last session. Well, now Chris Patty is the chair of the committee where that's likely going to be going through. And he actually didn't support the legislation two years ago.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it should also be noted that Chris Patty was very briefly a speaker candidate, mm-hmm. right, in that initial race. He didn't support it last go around. Interestingly, I mean, as we're kind of trying to give the prospects of the bill, you had Dade Phelan, of course, who, as you mentioned, was the chairman of it last time, was a joint author on the taxpayer-funded lobbying bill last go around. So was Dustin Burroughs.
Sure.
And we'll talk about him in a second. As well. So it is unclear as to what that means going forward is whether or not that bill will have legs.
Let's talk about Dustin Burroughs. You mentioned him. Dustin Burroughs was forced to step down after being involved in the Dennis Bonin scandal a couple years ago. He was forced to step down from his position as chair of the House Republican Caucus. But his power has apparently not dwindled in the Texas House. He's now going to be leading the powerful House Calendars Committee,
right,
which, as we talked about before, is in some ways, almost, maybe you could arguably say, more powerful sometimes than the speaker itself.
Sure. No, it's the Calendars Committee certainly sets the direction and what it is that all the members collectively, right, will be considering on the House floor. There's a lot of wheeling and dealing that happens behind the scenes, if you will, right, for someone that's in that position. It'll definitely be interesting to see. I think the other thing to note there is that For Price was last session's Calendars Committee chairman, and he's not really chairman of anything this go around. He potentially on the outs there. I don't know.
Yeah, there's actually a number of people on the outs. So we talked about people like For Price, people like, who else? You had Travis Clardy,
right,
somebody who was not on, essentially not on the right side when we were picking the speaker fights. Some other folks that are really being put on the outs. Another major change, this one, very interesting, specifically because it is 2021. It is a year that the legislature is going to be tackling redistricting and drawing their legislative maps, was a major switch up in the redistricting committee.
Right, that's right. The House is formerly chaired by Phil King, mm-hmm. Who've been on that committee for a very long time. And to my knowledge, he's not even a member of that committee this go around. It's actually chaired by Todd Hunter, which is interesting, from, I believe, Corpus Christi, a Republican from Corpus Christi, if you will. And so that'll be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out.
Yeah, certainly a major change there. I mean, if State Representative Phil King, I think he had actually kind of filed the introductory legislation for these, had filed the shell bills, was really getting ready for that process. One promise that Speaker Dade Phelan kept was his promise to appoint Democrat committee chairs. Certainly this session has been a tradition, for better or for worse, in the Texas legislature for quite some time. And this session being no exception, you've got more than one third of the committees being chaired by Democrats,
right,
including a couple where, potentially they'll have the possibility, or the ability rather, to kill some conservative reforms.
That's right. Yeah. Interestingly, even though it was also chaired by a Democrat last go around, the House Business and Industry Committee, which is a pretty powerful committee, is chaired by the Democrat caucus chair, Chris Turner. Mm-hmm. And that's a committee where you could potentially see things like minimum wage bills go through, right?
Yeah.
Another kind of interesting, Democrat pet project platform bills, if you will. So it'd be interesting to see.
Well, not only that, but you also have Democrat State Representative Harold Dutton,
right,
chairing public education. Now, this was a committee that used to be chaired by Dan Huberty, a Republican from the Houston area. And now you've got a Democrat essentially in charge of that committee. There's a slight Republican majority there.
Right.
But, for conservative reforms, for people thinking, maybe we can get some conservative reforms in the curriculum, not looking so good.
Yeah, I mean, it is unclear completely as to what that will look like. I mean, Representative Dan Huberty was not necessarily friendly to things like school choice either. Harold Dutton has been on the Public Education Committee for a very long time. He's been a longstanding member there. He's one of the more senior Democrats, for sure, too. He's supportive of things like, you know, career and technical education, right, and additional vocational education. It is unclear, though, whether or not a school choice, you know, endeavor would go anywhere in that committee.
Joel Starnes, watching right now live on Facebook, asks, do you have any thoughts on the dethroning of Charlie Guerin from the House Administration Committee? Charlie Guerin, of course, a longtime state representative who has chaired the House Administration Committee, which is essentially exactly what it sounds like. It is sort of the housekeeping kind of board, the authority in the Texas House, has chaired that committee for a long time. And now he's off of there, and instead he's going to be chairing the local and consent calendars.
I think there's a few things you can kind of read into that. I think the House Administration Committee is now chaired by Will Metcalf, for, I believe, Montgomery County, or that neck of the woods Republican up there. Charlie Guerin going to, from Fort Worth, Republican, long time, you know, member there, is going to the local and consent calendars committee is interesting. It could potentially send a few signals, right, to members who maybe might use local consent to do certain things like we've done in the past. It'll be interesting to see what comes from there. I think that was maybe Speaker Phelan's attempt to send a signal in that local consent may not be used the same way it's been used in the past. I don't know.
Well, a highlight for election integrity advocates has to be State Representative Briscoe Kane being announced, surprising a lot of people, being announced as the chair of the House Elections Committee.
Sure.
What do you make of that?
I think, you know, it definitely sends a signal from the Speaker's office that they want to do something related to election integrity. Keep in mind, of course, as we mentioned before, that is a governor priority, though it's unclear as to what that actually means. Whether or not that means that, much like the Republican Party of Texas, they will handle the specific kind of stuff that comes out of that, whether it be like citizenship verification, right, anything like that or not, that is unclear. But I think it bodes well for conservatives that we have Representative Kane from Deer Park, Republican, Freedom Caucus member at the helm of that. It is a Republican majority committee. Keep in mind, last session, the kind of the dubbed ballot integrity bill that passed the Senate did eventually die in the House. It very last minute passed out of the House Elections Committee, but died because of time in the calendar, if you will, and so didn't go anywhere. And so it'll be interesting to see if now that it's you know, the direction of Representative Kane, to see if it goes anywhere, you know, further than that.
Well, we'll see what happens. He's already filed several election integrity related bills of himself, including bills aimed at making the state voting procedures more secure, as well as preventing non-citizen registration and voting. And so we'll have to see what happens from there. Legislature is meeting next week. So they took this week off, as we mentioned. They're coming back February 9th and reconvening. Are any committees in either chamber right now, do any committees in either chamber have meetings scheduled right now?
Well, the House committees were just assigned yesterday.
Right.
I have not seen anything specifically scheduled for House committees yet. For Senate committees, the Senate Select Committee on Redistricting, or Special Committee on Redistricting, has been meeting. They've been doing kind of this like statewide, regional focused, you know, zoom in sort of meeting, if you will, preparing for redistricting. And then you've got the Senate Finance Committee, which did schedule a meeting, I guess, next week or the week after its first meeting coming up, I believe, as well. So.
Okay, so we'll be keeping an eye on that, absolutely. We're going to be watching at texasscorecard.com. We should expect to see these House committees really actually start to get to work. Senate committees are starting to get to work.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of action there. Ginger actually asked right now, maybe you can help with this, with a Dem chairing the Education Committee, what are the odds for school choice this session?
Sure. I kind of briefly mentioned that it is unclear. To my knowledge, I don't know that Representative Dutton has kind of had this like public standing position on it. I will tell you, from a kind of conservative standpoint, he has been supportive of things like career and technical education or vocational training, right? Additional vocational training. So maybe not like a college first sort of initiative, right? For everyone sort of thing. So I think that bodes well, but it is unclear as to what that means. I think it'll be different than previous, right? Having Chairman Huberty, who was just very outwardly spoken against it. But I don't, to my knowledge, have not seen a school choice bill filed as of yet, either in either chamber.
So. Yeah, well, it's a Republican Party of Texas priority, not seeing a school choice bill in the sense that I think a lot of people have thought of a school choice bill in the last few years. I think there's a lot of Frankly, a lot of disagreement, a lot of confusion on what exactly a school choice legislation
On that topic, too, like two cycles ago, the lieutenant governor prioritized it as one of his priorities. Mm-hmm. Last cycle, it wasn't one at all.
That's right.
And so it's unclear to see whether or not that will. The governor did not prioritize it this go round.
That's right. Well, we'll be following all those issues closely as the legislature is set to reconvene again February 9th, both chambers meeting again. Want to give a shout out to everybody watching. A shout out to Ruth watching from Cisco, Tiffany and Steph. Watching from Deer Park. Good to see y'all on here. Kathy watching from Grand Saline, which is home to the Salt Palace, if you've ever been out there. I have. So thank you, everybody, for watching. If you have any questions, please feel free to drop them down in the comments. But for right now, again, thanks for watching. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline from Texas Scorecard. We're live every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page to talk about the biggest stories of the week, so check us out there or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer. And while you're there, you can also check out the ever-growing line of podcasts and programming provided by Texas Scorecard.